Before we encircle back to Laser's segmented cyber hand of Hashem, let's constrict our thesis a notch tighter, round the heart of prosthesis.
But what if Hashem is God's devilish doppelganger,
you ask? What are you, an earthling? It's Glod, and no, I hope you're listening to these fools, Persephone. We've all been squeezed by the tentacles of circumstance. Some poor Dendricks end up strangled in their electromechanical grip. To live and die in the shadow of Hellgate City is to know this. And many a denizen has wondered, could it be different? Better? The measure of a society, it was once said, lay in how well it treats the meekest of its members. Does it free them from the tentacled Leviathan, or feed them to it like human sacrifices? Or worse, does it ensure denizens slip through the cracks while claiming its inhuman obstacle course is the only way those most common among us on level zero on down can grow to the height of their abilities? A wise and hearty populace free of the tentacles of circumstance? This only threatens our elites, at least the ones who believe that their power comes from being able to exert total domination. If the only reason people sought power was to make others squirm, then who would trust the lowliest among us to rise up and dominate any more judiciously than our current corpo overlords?
Before you start worrying the horns off a billy goat, can you cut to the chase as to what this has to do with prosthesis?
Right. Most of us Neo-Amster denizens believe the governance group should serve to further the life, prosperity, and well-being of every dweller. Governance is like an elected appendage, a prosthesis to replace outdated, infected old world tyrants and warlords. Society faces a choice. Either you cut them off, the toxic governing body that's pretty much anything but by the people, or their methods spread and multiply, destroying the body politic from within, like a metastasizing cancer.
Now we're cooking with gas!
You hearing that?
Of course, furless meat satchel.
So we're good.
Yeah, probably the pipes. Unless it's the night one.
The what?
Nothing. If it's an issue, I'll tell you. Now go on. Just remember the sun didn't come up to hear you crow.
What's the best time to amputate a rogue government? After it fails to do its core function, but before it starts acting up. Imagine a prosthetic leg, but you can't walk on it. Fire up the bone saw before it kicks you in the head. Of course, governing bodies, unlike most prostheses, may resist amputation out of self-interest. They'll move the goalposts, change their core function to judicious domination, and claim you agreed to it.
Snap out of it!
But that's another can of tentacles.
Time to fly!
What? Fly? Where?
You're dumber than a door jam? The night one approaches.
I'm not going out there.
Suit yourself!
Okay. You mind filling me in on this Night One character, though? The sky's darkening, lights flicker, the ground trembles. What happens if I just stay here?
You get obliterated?
You exaggerating?
It's hard to know, since no creature has confronted the Night One and returned to tell the tale.
If the Night One's that bad, why haven't you warned me about it?
It rarely shows up, and I've never seen it. You coming?
I guess so. It's freezing.
No sweats, Sherlock. Classic Night One scenario.
Let me just grab my jacket.
Be snappy. Hey, you're as flashy as a rat with a new gold tooth, ain't you? None for me?
No, I don't have a tiny doll-sized winter coat for a bat.
Well, come on, this way. Seeing as I'm saving your hide, the least you could do is make me a vest if we survive.
Deal. I can't believe this hasn't come up before, and I hope you're getting all of this, Persephone, or whoever's on the other end, on behalf of Companion Systems. Certainly grounds for a lawsuit of some sort. Medical negligence or fraud.
Frosty, Wasty, Polar Bear Patoots. I may not make it.
Okay, to where? To Fallout Shelter? Is that where we're going?
It's too cold. Follow these signs.
Hey, Blobby? Which signs? Hey, don't croak on me. This is my fault. I slowed him down. Pulse is still beating. I'll just scoop you up and tuck you into my toasty breast pocket. Poor little guy. I felt a wriggle. Did I just feel you wriggle? Hey, stay with me, Blumpy. If you hear me. Can you do that again? That's wonderful. Now, I'm feeling a wet spot there, so maybe don't do that again. It's fine. Just hang in there. Ah, damn night one. Guess I have to go through this blast door.
Oh, can you hold that? Right behind you, boss. Coming through. Thank you. You're gonna want to close that and latch it shut.
And you are?
I go by Trilby. Oh, Bilby. You never heard of Bilby's? Well, I'm from Boston. Does that help? Okay. Yeah, usually doesn't. I'm a bandicoot. That ring any bells?
A bandicoot?
No, okay. If you're thick-witted, what can I say? I'm like a kangaroo made love to a rabbit. Last of my species as well, so.
That's unfortunate. Where are you headed, Trilby?
I didn't get your name.
Thornton. Thornton Bevins. My friend here, the bat, is...
What? You trying to get me killed?
No, he's a Honduran fruit bat. He's out cold on account of...
Oh, I know him. The Great Pisser. He pisses on everything.
Funny you say that.
You don't have to explain it, kid. I smelt it. Just hadn't put a name to the stain.
Blobby. That's his name.
No kidding. I prefer Pisser. Welp. So long, horny blowins.
Actually, it's very dark in here, so if you could be a gentleman and...
Excuse me? Gentleman?
No, obviously you're Bilby, was it?
I'm a pregnant female, pal. I got two in the pouch as well.
Well, you're very slim. And
you're as big as you are stupid.
Like, Mademoiselle, Ms. Trilby, I'm sorry.
Hey, no harm, no foul. I just realized there may be more doors, which I used to be able to, you know, squeeze through occasionally. But now that I'm preggers, shit. You know, you lead the way, I'll lead the way you get the doors. Yeah, let's do that. Expect no mercy, as they say.
No mercy?
From the night one.
Ah, right.
Come on.
What's the night one? Person, monster, ghost? Hey, wait up. Don't worry, Blobby. Not only have I not forgotten about you, I just realized, whoever's listening, my friend here, the white Honduran bat, is on the same health plan. He needs urgent care. So if you can also file that along with my complaint, that would be great. Blumpy, you with me? I felt that. Trilby, you there? I've lost her. What am I thinking? I can use the light of this tablet. No, it's on battery saving mode. How do I turn it off? Well, at this point, I might as well stay put. Put my faith in the bandicoot. She'll run into a door eventually, and she'll need to come back and find me. I don't trust myself proceeding in the dark. Blompy, you still there? I've just remembered something. Losing the feedback loop. That is cybernetics, the communication between the limb and the body. That's what threatens a prosthesis. Like me losing touch with Trilby. When a governing wing loses touch with the body, perhaps because it doesn't feel the pain the body endures, things fall apart. You know how I was talking about the whole assumption of the elites, that the people they're crushing can't be trusted? Well, that's only as true as you are merciless. Yet, it is not inevitable that they will seek to do to the elite precisely what's been done to them for so long. We return to this notion of reciprocity as justice, but that's not what injustice demands. If you cause my eye to be lost, well, you don't have to stab your own. Just give me a prosthetic one, a cyber eye. Give me money for lost wages. Sincere remorse wouldn't hurt, but I don't need your suffering. I need an eyeball-friendly environment where no one's peepers get poked. Yet, when you seem to require the suffering of me and so many of my compatriots, when you construe a situation of false scarcity, one that causes undue desperation and pain, because you think that motivates people and keeps you in power, then if deprivation and violence is the only language you understand, yes, retribution it is, and whatever price you pay, it will have to include your suffering. Too much. You know, I was actually going to pull up something from the Earth Internet. What was that, the French? They had this thing that looked like a gigantic synthetic cigar cutter. I may not have a good connection to the Earth Internet here, but I can read quite a few Wikipedia blurbs, like this one on the French Revolution. Hold up. What did I do? No, stop. Disk cache cleared. God damn it! Anyway, what happened was guillotines. Wealth won't save a severed noggin, as my mother always said. Now, if you merely unthread a nervous system, spine, brain, and all, maybe you've got a second chance, but never sever. Far as I know, there are no fully prosthetic heads. However, take my body, not my corpse, that's gross. This parasympathetic VR avatar body I reside in is a prosthetic consciousness. For a consciousness needs a seat. It cannot float endlessly or drift. Even in dream worlds, we almost always re-enter some bodily point of view, if only to be able to look down on the first day of middle school and remark upon our lack of pants. Now that I mention it, let's excavate my latest trip to dreamland.
It's time!
Indeed. Whoppy, you're back?
I need a story to soften the descent.
The descent? Into what? What descent, buddy? Fine. I'm afraid last night's excursion is somewhat off limits. I mean, I'll tell you what I can. I had a proper nightmare about my son. Some of these dreams are actually events, but I have no way of knowing. This one involves someone that I do know personally. And if this event did happen, it must have been before I died. 6010 or 6009. It was Kirby 2.0, in the kind of den of iniquity Kirby 1.0 frequented. And since it was about 5 years before I died, I guess it would have been about 25. Emotionally, 13, if you consider his consciousness was just swapped in a year or so before this. What can I say about it? Let's just say the dream centered on him meeting a girl, Lonnie, the same one he was dating the last time I saw him. It looked like the first time they met. There was a tenderness aside to their relationship I suppose I didn't fully appreciate or see, for good reason. I mean, it's private. It reminded me of how little we know about those around us, even our own family. And it feels wrong to divulge some of that, so maybe you can understand that. They got into it with someone, some other couple or group at a cyber rave party. They were in kinesthesia suits, surrounded by flashing lights and hollow projections. But one thing's certain. Someone's left arm got mangled. Gruesome scene. Kirby, it was her arm, Lonnie's arm. And after the dust had settled, and Kirby was holding her other hand, I could see it in his eyes that it almost looked like she was holding his hand and comforting him, like a stunned and dazed little boy. It was sweet. He never told me about this. I probably would have blown up at him. I remember I first met the young lady when she was a patient of Hiroka Sawyerton. She was digitrans, which I believe makes the prosthesis procedure more risky. Replacing a limb on a body she had only recently been threaded into. Or am I not supposed to reveal that about her? I forget. Anyway, it was just a dream, right? And yet, it made me miss Kirby all the more. I wanted to hold him. To tell him it would be okay. And that it's a good sign that he stood by her. But regretfully, I wasn't present enough in his life at that time to even know what he was going through. To feel as close to him as I could be, and yet an outsider, infinitely separated, it hurt. It hurts.
Shocking Sleep Fact, Volume 22. Let's talk about bankrupting the sleep of today's teens. 100 years ago, under 2% of people in the U.S. slept 6 hours a night or less. Now it's nearly 30% of adults. That bodes increased lying, emotional volatility, bad decision-making, and overall lame health outcomes and fatigue for 78 million Americans. It appears to include that bronzered defendant allegedly farting up a storm as he nods off during the first criminal trial of an ex-president in history. But what about kids? Being forced into early school start times curses them with chronic sleep deprivation during adolescence, the most susceptible phase of life for developing chronic psychological illnesses. How bad is it? First, the credits. Screaming Panda presents Prosthesis B, Episode 22, the 12th chapter of Hellgate City, Season 2. It was written, performed, and produced, along with its music and art, by Kevin Barry and his prosthetic prehensile tail. The bonus tail is General Blonkers, Glitch 22, available on Patreon. Have you considered getting all the glitches and goodies there? Because if you can spare 20 cents a day and you dig the show, joining the Legion is the right thing to do. Don't be a dick. Visit patreon.com/HellgateCity. Shoot me a kind word on socials at Hellgate City, all one word. It makes me feel less mid. Also, follow and rate the show on Spotify before it blinks out under a trash heap of e-waste. Baffled after you helped a bandicoot and got the cold shoulder? Ever since humans extincted the lesser bilby in the 1930s, the bandicoot community caucused and decided to box us out in 1939. And now the conclusion of Shocking Sleep Fact Volume 22. Adolescents teeter atop a developmental tipping point, mental wellness on one side, and on the other, mental illness till they die. Science proves that chronically bankrupting their sleep with early classes pushes many of them over the edge into lifelong depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, and suicidality. What about work schedules? Well, last year, the CDC said, in the 10 years leading up to the pandemic, feelings of persistent sadness, hopelessness, as well as suicidal thoughts and behaviors increased by about 40% among young people. What to prioritize? You hear about that poor guy who had a heart attack after drinking 3 charged lemonades at a Panera Bread? We'll get into that next time. Till then, Dream Hacker, sleep well.